Stone?
Yes.
Who are we speaking with, sir?
Bobby Garrison.
Okay, Mr. Garrison, if you could just hold on 1 second here, sir. Okay, and, okay, would you state your name and ADC number for the record?
Bobby Joe Garrison, 37199.
Okay, thank you, sir. According to information that we have, well, welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. According to information that we have, you have been certified by the Department of Corrections for a 412A hearing today. That is general parole or for absolute discharge or home arrest. Let me introduce you to the board members first. We have four board members participating in your hearing today, and they are the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. Kawanis, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your board chair, as well as I'm serving as your panel chair for this hearing. I will point out just for the record that the information that I will be providing at this time is information that has been provided to the board by the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, who is not in the room at the moment, but he did provide me with a statement on yesterday as it related to Mr. Garrison's hearing, and I just wanted to go on record so the board will know that this is this was to be Mr. Johnson's hearing, although I am going to serve as panel chair. According to information provided to the board, based upon Mr. Johnson's observation, that Mr. Garrison, I'm going to read this statement, and after I read it, you can correct anything that may not be correct, sir. So we always give you that opportunity, sir. But based on the information that we have, that Mr. Garrison is currently serving a life sentence for murder. Mr. Garrison became parole eligible on July 7th, 2002. His sentence began on July 7, 1977. According to the institution progress report dated October 26, 2017, Mr. Garrison has no current release residence and plan on being released homeless. He plans on finding work with art and jobs such as through churches, washing dishes, along with other similar type of work. In Mr. Garrison's letter to the board dated March 27, 2017, he stated he would have at Set Free Ministries, and that is at 10344 North 24th Street, and that they would assist him with room and board along with three meals a day and clothing. He has no disciplinary violation within the last 5 years. His last violation was in 2006, which was a major for sexual assault and unauthorized contact. Parole hearing, Mr. Garrison has one unknown parole hearing in 1988, which was denied, and 32 hearings since 2002 for regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge, which have all been denied. He has no warrants or detainers. Programming, Mr. Garrison has received several recent certificates for Bible-related studies. His most recent related program was in 2012 for merging two worlds and reentry. Most other programming occurred in 2010 or earlier. He has several letters of community support from religious-based organizations. Current criminal information, Mr. Garrison was found guilty of the original charge by a jury and sentenced to death or life in prison. On October 24, 1976, the victim's nude body was found in a desert area near Houston Road and Pentania Wash by target shooters hiking in the area. The victim's hands were tied, and her brazier was tied around her mouth to form a gag. The medical examiner reported to state the cause of death was attributed to asphyxiation. Through subsequent investigation, Mr. Garrison was subsequently identified as the person who physically carried the victim out of a bar at approximately 11 p.m. Her head was woozy, and she didn't appear to be able to walk. This was the last time she was seen alive. Mr. Garrison was interviewed by detectives and admitted to being with and taking the victim out of the bar, but stated he took her to a second bar and dropped her off. He later changed his story and said he took her to his apartment where they engaged in sex. Then he dropped her off at a second bar. He began changed his story and said that they went to the desert area where they engaged in sexual intercourse in his car prior to dropping her off at the second bar. Mr. Garrison was subsequently arrested and convicted by jury of this crime. Mr. Garrison, I read this statement presented to the board by Mr. Johnson. Is there any corrections that you would like to call to the attention of the board, sir?
No.
Okay, sir. Before I go further, board members, is there any corrections that you would like to call, since Mr. Johnson is not here to speak for himself, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, to his statement that has been presented to the board? I hear none at this time. So, Mr. Garrison, we do take note that, you know, initially that you came up with three different accounts of what happened that night, whether you were before you went before the second bar. So, as now that you had all these years to think about it, which one of those is correct, or is it something else? Did you initially take her to home, or did you take her to a second bar, or did you, what happened that night? Or did you take her to that area first, to the desert? What do you recall now? And this is not a trial, by the way. I think you recognize the fact that this is not a trial. We can't retry you, but we're just trying to get as many facts as we can so that the board can make an informed decision. So now, since you had this much time to reflect on it, what actually happened that evening, sir, or that night?
I took her to the place where she was found.
Okay, so you took her to the place where she was found, and then you carried her to second bar, or there was not a second bar involved. What was that about the second bar, sir?
Well, there wasn't a second bar involved. Was that from, well, actually there was. I picked her up at the H&L. And we went over to the road run, or not the road run, but the Alamo Bar. And once we left the Alamo Bar, we went to where she was found, and we had sex there.
Okay, sir. So from your memory, as I said, we cannot retry you, but based on your memory, how did she end up being murdered, sir? I mean, you had sex, so what happened? How did she end up being murdered after the sex encounter, sir?
Well, when I realized, when we were having sex, and I realized that she was dead, I tied her hands and I gagged her, trying to, I don't know what it was, why I did that. I was scared, I was freaking out, I did a lot of things that I'm sorry for doing, but at that point, place, and time, that's what happened.
I'm just trying to understand. Go ahead, sir, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
And at that point, place, and time, that's what I did, thinking that, matter of fact, I was so scared, I really don't know what I was thinking. But I was charged with murder, to be very honest about it, because I wouldn't cop out. And so they decided that there was criminal intent, and they charged me with murder. Okay. And that's what happened.
Okay, let me just ask this, based on what you just stated, sir, just for clarification. That is that you were having sex with her, and this is a question then. Did she die while you were having sex, or did that happen later, sir?
She died while we was having sex.
Okay. And so after that, then that's when you tied her up and gagged her, and that's when all that happened, after the sex and after she had deceased. Am I correct, Sarah?
Yes.
And forgive me for asking these questions. I'm just trying to make sure I understand. Now, how did you know that she was dead, sir? How did you know that she was deceased? How did you make that determination, sir?
She just quit moving.
Did you check a pulse or a heartbeat or anything just to be sure? You know, sometimes people don't react, or she might have just been acting that way to stop, to end the sex. Did you check any bodily signals or anything to make sure that she was deceased, sir?
I called her name, and she never responded. And as far as I know, with the ability that I had at that point, place, and time to determine that she was dead, she was dead.
Okay, sir. And at that point in time, how old were you at that point in time, sir?
I would have been 26.
Okay. And okay, so now sex has taken place, she's dead, you leave her out in the desert. What do you do after then, sir? Did you go home, or did you go somewhere else, or did the police pick you up? What happened, sir, after this incident took place, sir?
I went home.
And based on your memory, how did the police detectives eventually tie you into this crime, sir?
Well, they found her body in the desert. And they went out the region there where the bar was, where they figured that she had the Alamo bar, and she had the Road to Run bar on her hand. She had been at the Road to Run before she ever met me at the H&L. So that she had them two stamped on her hand, so they started there. And one of the people there knew me at the Alamo bar and gave them my name, and they came to question me.
At the time that night, since you were at the bar, were you drunk, how much had you had to drink at the bar, sir?
I myself personally only had a couple of drinks.
Okay, so you were not drunk. So apparently, based on the pre-sentence report, she must have had a great deal to drink, since you had to take her out, to escort her out, kind of pick her up to get her out to your vehicle. So is that correct, sir?
Well, she had been, as far as my knowledge, or the knowledge that I got of her at that point, place, and time, she had been to the Rugula, she had been to the H&L, and she went to the Alamo with me. So as far as
the
how much she had to drink, I really can't answer that,
but
yes, in my opinion, she had a lot to drink.
Okay. Let me ask one other question, and I'll go to other board members. Did you know her at all, or this was your first time meeting her, having an encounter with her, sir?
She, in actuality, was an acquaintance.
She and who was an acquaintance? I just didn't hear you, sir.
She was an acquaintance. She was somebody that I hadn't just met her that night, no, but I didn't really know her that well either.
But y'all had not had a relationship, I don't mean sexual one, but y'all had not had a relationship at all prior to that night. You just knew it in the community. Am I correct, sir?
We met each other at H&L
Bar. Okay.
Previously.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir. So at this time, sir, I'm going to yield to other board members at this time to see if they might have any questions for you, sir.
All right.
Board members, questions? Yes, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Harrison, if you say that the victim died, and you verified that by she stopped moving, why did you feel it necessary to tie her up and gag her?
A lot of things happened that night on a spur of the moment type thing. I wasn't thinking clearly. Honestly, believe I did that to try to shift it where the, they would think somebody weird did it. And I guess I got the guy that was weird.
Okay. And there's also a statement here that, it's from the county attorney's statement, that somebody, that she was tied up and she was tortured by biting her breast and burning her nipple. Did you know that?
Yes, I think I did. But she was dead when, at the time it happened, that it wasn't torture.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that to someone who was dead?
I ain't got no idea. I can't answer that.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Garrison.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse. Any further questions? Okay, I hear no further questions coming from board members at this time. I don't believe there's anyone here supporting you. I don't believe that there are any victims here, sir. Therefore, at this time, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, but we do want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination. Anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir, without repeating yourself?
Yes, there is.
Yes, sir.
The night that I did that, I was young. I was living a life that I shouldn't have been living in a lot of ways. Since at that time, I've had a lot of time, as you say, to think, to analyze where I was living. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I have changed my ways. I have become a preacher or an associate evangelist. I'm working to be ordained. I have done things to reach out, such as carpentry, plumbing, or building maintenance. I have tried to keep myself out of trouble. And I did 10 years before I was sent out of Santa Rita without incident of anything. And they sent me back into a war zone where a lot of fighting went on that I didn't want to do. But since that time, I've done 11 years now without incident, without any problem at all. I'm trying and working and trying to stay out of trouble and clean up my life and straighten out and never do anything like that again. Thank you.
Thank you so very much, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. It may sound as if we're talking to you, but we're not. We're just talking among ourselves. The board members present are just talking among ourselves. And following our discussion, the board will make its determination at that time. So at this time, the board is in discussion, and we're going to ask that you remain quiet. But please stay on the phone, sir. At this time, any board member wishes to lead off the discussion at this time? No board member wishes to lead off the discussion. I think that, and of course, as I indicated, that the information that I provided was presented to us by a board member, Mr. Johnson, who was unable to be here at this particular time. He did not leave a recommendation, but based upon my review of the of this case, I find that if you really go back to the offense itself, it was an offense that one could never forget. It was an unnecessary one, to be sure. It started at a bar and ended up out in the desert with the victim being murdered at that point. And as a result of that, of course, Mr. Garrison was found guilty, although he still may have some doubts in his mind, because he said that they were having sex at the time and she just died, but at least she did die in his presence. He admits that himself. I do take note that he has made some progress. Yes, he's had some programming, as he stated himself. He's had some religious programming, and he's a minister, an associate minister, evangelist. He's looking towards the future. However, in view of where we are at this particular moment, the information that's been provided to the board at this particular time, and I do recognize the fact that he's made some progress, but there's just one board member, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the board now. I'm not in favor at this particular time in granting him general parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge, but I am prepared to listen to other board members. Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Ray. I also acknowledge the progress and the programming completed, and I certainly hope that continues. However, based on the crime itself, and specifically Mr. Garrison's complete inability to explain acts that should be things that would stand out in one's memory, and telling us he wasn't drinking that much, so he should not have been impaired, I cannot justify any type of parole.
Thank you so very much. Any further discussion by the board members? Honorable Mr. Kohanis.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. To state it informally, there are holes in the story. I think Mr. Garrison doesn't completely account for the murder in question, and I believe that if released, he would continue to pose a threat to the community. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Neal?
No, I agree.
Thank you so very much. Therefore, with what's being stated, I'm going to move at this time to deny Mr. Garrison 412A, 411, a home arrest, that is general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest. I do not recommend a set off because of the date of the crime, which I believe was 1977, and that is my motion to deny.
Agreed.
Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed by Mr. Kohanis and Mr. Neal, and reasons for denial at this time is serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant behavior, trauma to the victim. Because this is a 412A, there's no family or community support present today. I won't say that none exists, but there are none here today. He does have, well, I am going to make a determination, and other board members, if you disagree with this one, please let me know before I mark it. And that is a poor no release plan. I believe that he has a plan, but it is a weak plan, I believe. So, but I would listen to other board members. He plans to come out homeless and having been incarcerated for that long period of time. I'm just not sure that it would be appropriate for him to come out homeless, although he will be dependent upon churches, but these churches are not identified in the release plan itself. Churches and that he would wash some dishes and similar type work, but it's not specified what he would be doing and which church that he would be that would be receiving him. And for that particular reason, I am going to suggest poor release plan. I'm not going to say no, but poor release plan. Any objections to that?
No, sir.
Hearing no objection. Anything else that needs to be included for reason for denial at this time? Hearing nothing else, Mr. Garrison, the board has voted to deny you general parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, and I stated the reasons. Do I need to repeat the reasons, sir?
No, I got that. My only question would be, what do I have to do to meet your qualification for me to make parole?
So that's a question that I cannot answer, no other board member could answer. It really depends upon each board member votes independent of each other. And as you know from the times that you've come before this board, the board has changed membership several times, and each member is independent of each other. The only thing I say, I hope you heard what the board said today and that you would take that into consideration and that you would come before the board in 6 months or so and please plead your case again, but I cannot answer the question because each board member is independent of each other. We do not discuss these hearings before. We are sitting here and you're listening to us, but you will be certified by the Department of Corrections to come again before this board in and around 6 months from now. Once you're certified by them, then the board will place you on the calendar, and the board at that time will listen to you again. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for your participation, sir, and we look forward.
Excuse me.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
You didn't get my borough plan asking to send me Tucson to Cruel Palm?
We have that borough plan, but the one that I was referring to was the one that that was presented, the Institutional Progress Report, and the release plan there. That's the one that I was referring to that had been presented to the board. Yes, sir, we did receive the other information from you, sir.
You didn't get my letter that mentioned New Testament Baptist Church in Tucson?
Yes, sir, we did, but that was not part of the plan itself that you presented to the board. I don't know whether you wrote it or whether you had the CO3 to write it. The one that was that was presented to the board up front, the Institution Progress Report. So that's what I was quoting from the last, and that was presented to the board and dated October 26, 2017. But now your hearing is over, sir. Thank you so much for your participation, and please put the CO3 back on, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay.